May only your word be spoken, O Lord. May only your word be heard. Amen. Please be seated. So Jesus and his mother Mary were guests at a wedding. And when the wine ran out, Mary instructed her son to give them all more wine. And in a rather surprising move, a devoted son to his loving mother, Jesus said, "Woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour is not yet come." So then, after giving Jesus a stern look, which said, "Son of God or not, you won't speak to your mother that way," Mary said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." So Jesus turned a huge amount of water into a huge amount of wine. It was like a 12-kegger of wine. And that was his very first sign and miracle, revealing his glory, keeping the party going. As Robert Earl Keane sings, the road goes on forever and the party never ends. That sounds kind of like the party in heaven. Feasting and joy united with God and one another forever. When the wine ran out, Jesus saved the day for everyone there. And Jesus gave us a taste of what the forever party in heaven will be like with God and one another. More wine, drinks all around. And at the same time, we know that this story can cause some challenges or consternation for some within the church. Some individuals, some denominations may have some challenges with this story. I think of Baptists who don't drink wine or beer or any alcohol, thinking it's the wrong thing to do. I heard a joke from a Baptist pastor, so I can tell it. He said, "Hey, have you heard the one about the Baptist preacher? And he was talking to someone about how, you know, you really shouldn't drink wine." And the other guy says, "Well, but you know Jesus drank wine, right?" Says, "Yeah, and I'd have thought a lot better of him if he hadn't." We've got groups within the church that think drinking is okay and groups that think that it's very much not okay. And I think that's okay. Like, we can believe differently from one another and still be united in Jesus. We might even just learn something from each other, such as we don't need to look down upon people who drink alcohol. And looking at those who don't, we might just learn and realize and recognize that the freedom to drink comes with potential dangers. We need to be careful not to be overcome by that freedom. Two different groups, drinkers and non-drinkers, can help temper each other into a healthy place within the church. They don't need to fight over who's right and who's wrong. They may just be inspired by the same Holy Spirit. I think that's what Paul was getting at in his letter to the Corinthians, which we heard today. Paul wrote that wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, speaking in various tongues, and interpreting those tongues were all gifts of the Spirit by the same Holy Spirit. So the folks at the church in Corinth at the time seemed to have been thinking that different spirits were giving different gifts to different people. And you can see where that would be a problem. Folks who had previously worshipped various idols, thinking that perhaps these different idols were now leading some to prophecy, while other idols are leading some to knowledge, while the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit was giving these works of miracles. No, Paul was saying, it's not by different spirits or idols that you have all of these different spiritual gifts. There is one Holy Spirit granting gifts to all of you. There is one Jesus, one Spirit, one body of Christ, which we all are. And God gives different gifts and understandings as we have need. So again, looking at the drinking question, perhaps the church universal has a need for some to remind us of the challenges of alcohol. The Baptists have a way of life in which they don't drink. That's great. Others have a way of life in which they do. And that's great. Each has something to offer the body of Christ, and fighting which one is right breaks the unity of the body of Christ. looking at another more important possible case of disunity within the church. I was talking recently with a pastor of a different church who has very different beliefs than I do about homelessness, about people who are experiencing homelessness, and about how to help. The very short version is he is advocating for homeowners and business owners whose properties and businesses are sometimes harmed by the challenges often associated with homelessness. He's right that there are challenges, which I know from things I've seen. When you see people fighting in the middle of the street and cars have to stop to avoid hitting them, that's a problem. When people won't go to a business because there's drug use on the sidewalk just outside that business, along with aggressiveness and shouting, that's a problem. Shouting, fighting, drug use are not okay, and businesses end up going out of business because of it. And when that happens, you have even more people living on the streets. So this other pastor has some good points which need to be listened to, taken to heart. At the same time, he also has a lot of incorrect assumptions, overly broad generalizations, and downright harmful ignorance of the realities of being homeless. When the solutions are things like they should get a job, or they should just go somewhere else, or stop feeding them and you won't enable them anymore, those are dangerously harmful and ignorant statements. And hearing this pastor hurts my soul. An hour with him and I am in pain for days. I simply want to shut him up and somehow just make him understand the things that he doesn't. But when I'm in that mindset, when I'm in that adversarial him against me mindset, that's not following the way of the Holy Spirit. Being against this other pastor is following the way of the adversary whose name is Satan. As difficult as it is for me to listen to this guy, and as much as he is dangerously ignorant, the people for whom he is advocating also need his advocacy. And in fact, if we were to put his and my approaches together, we'll probably find a better middle way to help everyone than just taking one side over the other. That's the First Corinthians way. Realizing that sometimes when parts of the church seem opposed to one another, it may just be the Holy Spirit helping to unite us into one body, into a greater middle way than we might make on our own. Because the division stops us. When we stop listening to one another, when we simply go with, we're right and they're wrong, when we stop caring about the harm we're doing to one another, then the wine stops flowing and the party does end. Unity, instead, even if sometimes painful, brings us forward together. When we strive together, when we trust the Holy Spirit is working through the other side as well, then we might just temper each other into greater healing than we find on our own. We might just find something of that heavenly banquet where the wine keeps flowing, where the road goes on forever, and the party never ends.